Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning into our boardroom chat today. God is so good and gracious, and I'm excited that you came today because I didn't have anything to say.
God, I'm glad I came today, too.
I want to pick a bone with you.
Oh, no.
Kathy gets mad at me because I don't like change. Now, change in two ways. I don't like the change, and I don't like change in my pocket. But when I'm always telling her to put the change in her. And but it's very biblical.
To not like change?
To not like change. You only can, well, I got changed when I got born again. But after that
was a good thing.
That was a great thing. But since then, I shouldn't change. And I got a scripture for it.
Oh, really?
Because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says,
okay,
therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
That's correct.
Well, go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Since I'm supposed to imitate God or Jesus, which is God, verse 8 is very powerful. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when are you going to believe that?
I believe it right now, and I've always believed that.
Yeah, but you're always telling me, you know, you're always changing something.
Well, you're not Jesus Christ.
That's true.
And the point is we're all supposed to be
but
changed.
But I'm an imitator.
I'm going to give you another scripture the Bible talks about. I'll find it in a moment in Corinthians.
If you
about
don't know
how,
what it is, you ought not even quote
I'll find it. I got a reference here.
Okay.
But it's about how we're supposed to be changed into his glorious image. The more we're in his presence, the more we're changed. So change is a good thing.
So
and you need it.
And I need it, huh?
Especially today.
But the reason why I picked this verse, why hasn't the church... When I talk about the church as a corporate body, I stayed with what Jesus said. And our prime example is like healing's not for today. Now, I know why people say those things, because they use the scripture, that which is perfect has come, then that which in part is done away with. Talking about tongues, healing, you know, because they talk about the word of God being perfect. And that's true. But Jesus is the same. If Jesus healed people 2,000 years ago when he walked the face of the earth, what makes you think he wouldn't do that today? If he blessed me, if he fed 5,000, 4,000, he fed a lot of people, what makes you think he wouldn't do that today? And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in other words, his future is the same.
Hmm.
And he creates it by staying the same. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So I made up my mind, and I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, Full Gospel, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal, and those are good, don't misunderstand me. But I mean, it's amazing. I don't like because we fight each other doctrinally. When the Lord said, come together in the unity of the faith, he didn't say the unity of doctrine. What is the faith? Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, so to me, when I got born again, I changed from an ungodly person to a godly person. Now, I've been preaching 49 years, coming up on 50. And when I got born again, I never thought about going back. I never thought about saying, well, I'm tired of this religious thing. I think one time in my life, I was born again and I came home. It took 4 months to get me out the rock business. I'm trying to remember this many years ago. Something happened. I can't believe I was standing up for Jesus and someone hit me, slapped me. Boy, that made me so mad I could spit. And, you know, the God said, bless those that persecute you, pray for those, you know, if it hit you with one cheek, turn the other and all that kind of stuff. And I remember, now I was a baby Christian. I had my diapers on, you know, that kind of stuff. I was so angry. I said, that's it. I wasn't giving up God, but I was going to get drunk. I said, I had enough of it.
I remember that day.
I don't understand why you let him hit me. Now, I could have fought and we'd have had a big fight and all that kind of stuff. That's not the issue. And a baseball bat would have took care of that real good. You know, me using that baseball bat, but I didn't. And I'll never forget that, you know, but I never thought about just leaving God. But I thought, you know, I mean, I thought for a minute, you didn't stand up for me. I was talking for you. And I never forget, and I'm going to paraphrase this and condense it all. I remember the Lord said, well, they pulled my beard out. You know, they slapped me in the face. They spit in my face. And boy, that ooh, that'd make anybody mad when somebody spit in your face. And I remember going, You wimp, Jesse, wimp. You mean to tell me you can't take this little hit? And I repented of myself right then and there. And I have never done that again. You know, and of course, I've been, you know, I've been royally persecuted spiritually, physically, and financially over my years of ministry. But I mean, and then it dawned on me, I said, so what? But then after a while, as I grow, you get to a strength where Satan, he gonna think twice before he come at you.
So you changed. Things.
No, I didn't change, because I mean, I was the same. Listen, Jesus, help us understand this revelation. And so when you what I did was I grew.
Well, that's
But true. I was still the same, because in other words, even though I grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, I got sent. I mean, I didn't. My salvation didn't change, but
right.
My spirit began to grow. So right. that's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's what you do when you become a believer. You mature. You grow up. You're not a baby anymore. That's the scripture you referenced a few moments ago about how that we know in part. Did you say that? You say we see in part, we know in part. That's what you're talking about, the doctrines and all that.
Yeah, they come together in the unity of the faith instead of the unity of doctrine.
Yeah, but what it says is, and I found this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, for we know in part.
Yes.
And remember, you talked about that in a moment. Mm-hmm. That's how some people say that tongues are not for the day. But it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. And that's when you talked about
when
we first started about how some of the things that we see in the Bible aren't for today, but they are. And then it goes on to say, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. That's a progression. Although we're totally born again, like you said, we're changed instantly the moment we ask Jesus to come into our life. But our flesh, our outward man, or our old way of doing things does need to be, old way of thinking has to be renewed. The book of Romans talks about how we renew our mind.
Right. Go ahead.
And I think you're talking about. You had to renew your mind of who you really are, regardless of that attack. I remember that day when you were slapped, and it was not an easy day. You had a temptation there that you.
Yeah. I mean, I could have done something real bad. I mean, you know, I mean, not bragging about that.
That wasn't
long
after you got born again, and I remember
saved, what, 5 months?
Or less. Maybe 5 months.
About 5 months.
We had moved back home to Oklahoma. And we were, I was praying and believing for him to get born again. And when I saw that, I said, oh my goodness. And I just hit it in tongues is what happened. And so this part where people say that tongues are not for today, that's exactly what I used that day. When the enemy had come against what I was believing for, my home, you were born again. We were living for the Lord, and then this attack came, and I said, I'm not going to have any of this. So I remember hitting it in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit gave me the words to pray. In fact, I was reminded while I was praying about how Moses put the blood over the doorpost, and I knew I had the power, and I was such a baby Christian, but I knew just a little bit.
No, but you had some power.
And so the Holy Spirit helped me, and I remember figuratively going around my house, pleading the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over all the doors of my house. I plead over my home. Satan, you cannot destroy what I've believed for. Because I knew the enemy just had you in the crosshairs, wanted to pull you away. And this was
I wasn't in ministry at all. You got to understand, man. I'm barely born again. I'm born again, but just barely. And
but
I like what you said, you hit it with tongue. You heard that from Terry Pearson, huh?
Yeah.
My grandmother told her.
Yeah, she said that. And I didn't know that term at the time, but that's what I did. I mean, I went into tongues because I didn't know how I should pray. The Bible talks in Romans how we don't know how we should pray, but we make groanings and intercessions.
Well, Terry Pearson said, both of us heard her say, now I never met Brother Copeland's mother. Her name was Vanetta.
Right.
But I think Vanetta told Terry as a child.
Taught her that.
Yeah, taught her that if you got a problem, just hit it with tongues.
Hit it in tongues. And so I grabbed hold of that later on when I learned it, because that's
statement.
What I had been doing for most of my Christian life. After I got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, when I didn't know how to pray, that's what I would do. And the Holy Spirit would empower me with words. Sometimes I prayed in tongues and I didn't know what I was saying because it was a heavenly language, but God was communicating it to my heart. And then there were many times where I knew in my spirit, I knew what I was praying about. In fact, I knew I was praying for you at that point, although the words that were being spoken, I didn't have understanding for it. But then I knew to pray and plead the blood over my household. And so I remember that when you left, I hid it in tongues, plead the blood over every door in my home. And then you went to the bar room, actually, to drink.
I went to Don and Curly's.
An old spot that you did went to before you got born again.
Yes.
So you stayed in the car, you told me later.
No, what happened is I got to the car. I was mad. I as a baby, I was mad at God. I just couldn't figure in my mind that I'm talking for you, Jesus, and you let this sucker slap me. You know what I'm saying? And I remember I grabbed the doorknob of the car, and I couldn't open the door. Now, I'm telling you, I made my shoulder sore. Bam! I said, what's this dadgum door? I was going, I'd say a good minute. I mean, just hit me there. And then when I realized, I thought, you wimp. I mean, my God, you ready to just have a fit because you got slapped? And that's when the Lord was speaking to me. You know, they slapped me, they pulled my beard out, they spit in my face. And I went just like that. And I now realize what it was. Then I didn't. I mean, I just dropped my head in the car. I said, God, forgive me. And I had my hand on the door, and the door just went open.
And this was the part that really connected to me when you told me about that later, because when I was pleading the blood, that car belonged to me too. So that was a door.
Yes.
That I was pleading the blood over. You couldn't walk through that door. The devil couldn't get into you because I was praying.
I think that angel, there was an angel holding that door.
And that's what I didn't see it, but then
you pleading the blood. I didn't know she was doing this. I mean, right. I was heading for Don and Curly.
Yeah. Spirit-led prayer does make a difference. The Holy Spirit, because we don't know.
But you know,
we know in part, but the Holy Spirit comes in to fill in the other part so that we can know how to pray effectively.
That one little
change
test.
Things.
I grew, and I don't mean to sound arrogantly, that one little test, when I realized I grew phenomenal right there in the spirit. Not just a little bit.
Right.
Phenomenal.
Right.
And I thought, I mean, it wasn't just say, well, I didn't care if people punch, hit, do whatever. I came back home and, you know, and then everything was fine. And I mean, I just started witnessing. And if they wanted to do, you know, turn the other cheek, whatever, and all that kind of stuff. I grew. Now, I would say totally to the fullness of the stature of Christ, but I grew up that day.
Right. Right.
You know, and it was, I was only saved, but maybe 5 months, 4 months, music been to take. And when I got home, it was only 1 month being in Kathy's hometown is where we went to. And, but anyway, I thought, my God. And ever since then, you know, when I've had persecution, I think about, well, do you remember? And I laugh at it. And I said, now that don't bother me. They curse me and they say, "You ought not have that house and you shouldn't have that jet." And I just smile at them and whatever. You know, they can say what they want, do it. That's their business. Because I've grown so much past that. I mean that pridefully or arrogantly. But then I realized my salvation was just the sound when I was 5 months old in the Lord, as it is today. But my problem was I had to grow spiritually in different things of the nature, and still growing. And still doing those wonderful, you know, those wonderful things. But I mean, I want to talk to those people that don't believe in healing and don't believe in tongues. And I understand your doctrine. Look, I can preach, I can preach like a Baptist, I can preach like a Methodist. I mean, I understand the gospel. I can do homiletics, I can do hermeneutics, philosophy, theology, you name it. I don't mean that privately. I've been in this thing a long time. If I go to a Baptist church, you think I'm First Baptist. If I go to a Pentecostal church, you think I'm a Pentecostal. I mean, I become all things to all people. But that day, I grew mightily, and I really believe Satan said we should not have caused that to happen. You see, because it changed me in my way of thinking, and I thought, well, my God, man, what is that compared to Jesus washing my sin away and blessing me? So I just went forward. I still don't like it, you know. So when I began to read the Bible, I said, I'm going to take it like, if Jesus is the same, I'm going to be the same. Now, it didn't affect my salvation. I wasn't going nowhere. But what happened, it affected the way I would live in life. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And when things would come my way or things of that nature, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago, when I was royally attacked about those jets, and I was trying to, and I had made a little was it a commercial or something, trying to show people how God had blessed us when we first started with an airplane.
Well, it was a social media post. Yes, where we had done, you had a series called Hanging with Jesse.
Hanging with Jesse.
And some of it, I think, aired on a broadcast, television broadcast. Uh-huh. But I remember you were looking at, we put some
pictures
on the wall that showed
where
our aviation vision, where you began and then where you were going. And so you would, and you were talking about different ones, where you were, the first aircraft we had.
Right.
And which would begin, I think you got it when we were in the ministry, maybe.
Was it 1994 is when I first.
15 years or something like that? How long was that?
What's that for now?
94 is when you got it.
When
you started preaching. And
no, God said he'd give me a plane in 1978. You know, I never got discouraged. And then, but it manifested in 1994, November of 94. But you know, I didn't care because when God told me, he gave it then. That's when I got it in my spirit. 1978, but I physically manifested 1994. But that time frame was nothing to me because I know God can't lie. You see what I'm saying? And it, so it, I just went on and on. And but what happened was the media picked it up and said that I had four jets. And I've never had four jets at one time in any way, shape, or form. I've given away two of them. They didn't tell you that. They knew about
it. Not only that, they cut it out before you finished the whole segment because the last one showed the Starship Enterprise, which was a funny segment, but they just grabbed. And that's what the enemy does. He'll pull things out of context, twist it around to make it say what they want it to say.
And Jody, I'll never forget Jody, my daughter, she said, and we were in New York, and I was preaching, and when I walked out, I got to the church, man, I got hit by all the media. I mean, they're on the sidewalk. And I mean, they were coming at me. And Jody just could. She said, Dad, you're the strongest man. How you could have nailed him. I said, well, I asked the Lord, how do you want me to handle this? And the Lord said, you'll kill it with joy. And the joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And I said, okay. So, and I told it to Jody. She said, okay. And sure enough, we did. Yet I had some ministers say, that's the end of his mission. No, man, my message exploded.
I'll never forget that day when we got out of the van to go to the preach that night. And they were outside the church. And they said they were screaming, wanted to talk to you. And said, well, I'll talk to you. I'll never forget how you
I said, I'll answer any question, but I'd like to say something first.
And that was, tell them what you said.
No, go ahead. You tell that.
You said, I want to thank you for putting me on all over the world. It was amazing because really, and then at that point, people started who never heard of us, who were critical of us at last, even, and started researching us. I remember reading a beautiful letter from someone in Canada that said, hey, I saw that stuff and I started to look you up, and they went on to our app or somewhere. Mm-hmm. They started binging on everything that you had been preaching, and they said, I like this. Yeah. I need help. I want to be delivered from, I think it was PTSD. They needed prayer. They were believing for finances. All these things that the scripture teaches, you were teaching. That apparently they were watching things that made sense, and they were calling out, writing to us for prayer.
But the reason why I was so strong in it, not that I'm something, was that scripture, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, it didn't change Jesus at all, the persecution that they did him. And they said, we're going to kill you. He said, I'll be back in 3 days. And he was. It didn't make any difference. So maybe you've gone through some tough things. But a good old preacher told me this in Texas, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Hmm. And, you know, sometimes we have to toughen up our skin. It's common sense, you know, those kind of things. And but now, see, even though, and let me show you something. My body has totally changed since I married Kathy. Because I was a young man, very strong. Man, I'm 76 years old, and Kathy told me not to wear the clothes. She said,
you keep bringing that up.
Yeah, you say that, you know. But you know what? I'm still the same. My spirit is as young as you can, even though my body's growing older. So what? I'm getting a new one. Think about it. One that will never age. That's amazing. It won't have this thing. You see this thing? Look at this thing. And sometimes I have a hard time tying my tie because it gets in the way, you know. So I have to hold it like this and put my tie on.
You know, they have duct tape for that.
I know, something. I don't know what it is, you know. But I don't really care. I got some great plastic surgeons. They love me, you know.
Friends.
They said, they're very good at what they do. We'll do you for free. They told me, they looked me in the face and said, you know, you need some work. I said, yeah, look, it's loose. It's real loose. You know, I don't care. And I looked at them and I said, does it hurt? Oh, yeah, it's going to hurt. I said, I've had enough pain in my life. And then I said something that kind of shocked them. I said, I earned these cracks. These are not wrinkles. These are cracks. You see what I'm saying? I earned them. And so when I look at that and I go, okay, that's okay. But inside, I still see me the way I was when I was 20 years old. Not on the outside, but on the inside. And same thing with my spirit. It's just such a blessing. Mm. And that little scripture meant so much to me. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus tarries, I'm going to be the same tomorrow as I was today or 20 years from now or whatever. It didn't make any difference. You know, it just, you just do what God does. And I've had one of the best compliments given to me many times over my ministry. He said, you know what we like about you, Brother Jesse? And I said, no, you've never changed. I said, in what way? Man, you just preach that gospel. You're happy all the time. That doesn't mean unhappy things hadn't happened to me. You know, you don't get discouraged or depressed or despondent. I'm not tooting my horn here. Why? Why should I? Because Jesus is the same, so I should be the same. Mm-hmm. In other words, what's out there should not affect me how I operate and function. You see what I'm saying? I came into the studio just a while ago, and I mean, my mind's drained. You know, I've been working so much, and it's not a negative confession. I mean, the Lord been dealing with me for days, boy. I mean, and you know, it pulls strength out of you. Catherine never could understand, why do you get so tired after you preach? Till she started preaching. And I never forget, she came home, did her first thing, she said, I got to lay down. I said, good, because the anointing will just draw strength out of you. So I told him, I said, I don't want to do this. I thought about, my God, Chrissy's behind the camera. I'll just tell Chrissy, go up there and do that boardroom chat with Kat, because you do the glorious one. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't know what to say, call Jennifer. She'll say something. But then when we started, I began to, you know, like that old coffee Sanka commercial. You know that old, used to love that commercial, you know?
You don't like coffee.
See, I don't drink coffee. Kathy, when she gets up in the morning, she looks like a grandma. I ain't no three ways
about it. I am a grandma.
And she is there, but I mean the hair's on top of the head.
Say that with a smile on your face.
Got one of them buns. She comes walking over there. You can't talk to her too much.
I sleep with my hair in a ponytail.
She's a little snappish when she gets up because until she's had her first cup of coffee.
So I don't say nothing too much. I'm just quiet.
Oh, snappish. I mean, you know, like a snapping turtle. You know, she's like, come on. But after about that, I guess halfway through a cup of coffee, Java, she goes, I guess it starts kicking in. You know? By the second cup, and I think she don't drink
sugar.
I had one today. Oh, she's in a great mood. But I've had so many people tell me that. Don't mess with me until I've had my first cup of coffee or something like that. So I don't know.
And, what's that joke that says, did you wake up grumpy this morning? No, I let him sleep.
That's true.
I'm going to say that about you.
But I woke you up this morning.
Yes, you did.
You were sleeping, boy.
I could tell someone was staring at me.
Oh, you didn't know.
I wake up.
You were...
Oh, that's good sleep.
But he gives
his beloved sleep, scripture tells.
Yeah, I mean, and me and Kathy, our marriage is never, and we're the same. She still tries to aggravate me on some little things.
You're just so full of joy.
I'm full of it today, boy. And I don't know what I'm full of, but I'm full of it today. You know, but I mean, I just enjoy being the same.
Right. You know, this really illustrates, no matter how you feel.
I'm laughing. Go ahead. I'm just enjoying myself.
No matter how you feel, you keep moving on. You keep putting one step in front of the other. You keep trusting God. You keep believing God. I know there are many times we're believing for things.
Oh, God,
We're not moved by our emotions. We're moved by what God calls us to do and what He says to do. And we have a commitment to do this so that we can connect with you.
Oh, yeah.
And minister to you. We get so many great testimonies about how this chat.
And I want you to read that too, some of these testimonies. I don't mean to cut you.
He meant to cut me off.
Yeah, the Lord just told me, said, we're responsible to you and for you. God called you to be our partners. We pray for you daily. There'll never be a day without prayer. Hmm. You that are watching and are not partners, I hope you can become one because it's the anointing of increase, laughter. Everything that we have will come on you. But I mean, I'm responsible to live clean. I got introduced last night, a wonderful, wonderful introduction from a good friend of mine, Sam Segundo, in Big Spring, Texas.
You mean on Tuesday night?
Yeah, well, Tuesday night, that's right, yeah. Sam Segundo, and if you're in that area, you ought to go to his church. Him and Christina are wonderful
people. Big Spring, Texas.
And he said, what I like about Bridget, there's no secret sin there. No. No, no, and it won't be neither. And take heed when a man think you stand, lest he fall. I'm not standing in my strength. I'm standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who built it so powerful that nobody can knock it down unless you just walk off of it. You see what I'm saying? So I've stayed on that foundation. And he said some very nice things about me. But I know I don't change. I started believing, praying in tongues. I still pray in tongues. And people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to. But I tell you one thing. I like hitting it with tongues. I like feeling good. People say, why do you pray for healing? It's because I receive health. The harvest off of a healing prayer is health for my body. You see, I love giving. I actually love giving more than I love receiving. And receiving gets you excited. You know, you get, whoa, thank you. And like but when you give, there's a warmness that comes out of you, man. And you go, man, that just felt so good. So today, remember this, that tomorrow cometh, but if you stay the same, tomorrow will not affect you whatsoever at all, just like it didn't affect Jesus Christ at all, neither. Mm-hmm. I want you to be a partner to this ministry. It's not that I want you in finance. What I want is, and that is part of it, is that when you understand vision, oh my, it gives you something to do. It gives you something to say. And my God, and people can see it. Now, the Lord gave me a scripture. All of us that preach, go into the world and preach this gospel to every creature. Or when this gospel is preached to the world, for a witness to them. In other words, they don't have to receive it, but they got to witness it. The Bible said the end shall come. Well, that's why we preach so much. That's why I want you to partner. I wish all these things were free, but it's not. It costs money to fly. It costs money to eat. But I never charge churches. Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? When I go, they don't pay any of my expenses. I mean, I sow that as seed. I do receive an offering, but not to meet the expenses. I sow that as seed. I take that offering and put it toward a project that God's telling us to do. Me and Kathy, we are very strong about that. If you'd like to be a partner, I hope you do. Just go to jdm.org. That's our website. You can hit the donate button, whatever amount you want. And you can use PayPal if you like. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. Or you can go to the free JDM app and select the giving you want to do that way. Or you just can mail in a check through the post office to this ministry, whatever it might be. I promise you that 100% of what you give goes into world evangelism. Me and Kathy have been debt-free. Look at us. Since 1982. We have no concept of debt. I remember, man, when Kathy couldn't go buy a pair of shoes. There was a place called Payless. And that's the only place you could buy. Now, today, I don't even know if that company still exists or not. I'm not sure. But now, she don't worry about now. She pay more now. But that,
not always.
But you pay more. But that's okay. Because you see, even though we were the same, our giving didn't become the same. We began to increase our giving all those years ago. And now, without sounding prideful or arrogant, you can say what you want. If she wants to buy something, she just goes get it. She don't tell me. If she wants to, what do they call that, go online or something, order something, that don't bother me. I don't know, it just comes to the house. You know, why? Because the Lord has blessed us. You know why? Because we stayed the same. For God so loved the world. God is first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom. You can't get second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth until you seek ye first. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. Kathy, we just got a few minutes left. Would you read a couple of testimonies?
Yes. Facebook. Someone's from just watching on Facebook from Uganda, Africa.
Praise
they didn't
the
give
Lord.
Us their name. YouTube says, I became a JDM partner this year. Your ministry has poured so much into me, and I want others to hear your messages too.
Praise God. Thank you.
Isn't that great? And Catherine says, I love seeing Jesse and Kathy together on the boardroom chats. Their podcasts are inspiring.
Praise the Lord.
And then YouTube says, I've been blessed to be a partner for many years. I love Jesse and Kathy.
You know, we have what I call long-term partners. You know why? Because we do what we say. Go ahead, read some more.
Luke says, I'm a JDM partner and I've sown seeds for the kingdom of God. Father, I receive my hundredfold return, harvest my Abrahamic covenant blessings.
Praise God.
And all of your promises in Jesus' name. So they're learning how to activate the promise. Curtis says, God bless, brother. Jesse and Sister Kathy, in Jesus' mighty name, I love their ministry. It's good ground to plant seed and become a partner. Hallelujah.
And
this last one says, thank you, Brother Jesse. You always make me laugh.
Let me have that. Now, I didn't even know. Chrissy, you put this together. Chrissy behind the camera. I didn't know you had this all about partnership. I'm just looking at it. Look how Kathy just writes all over it. I guess what I'm talking,
that's
she gets
doodling.
A revelation.
Yeah, I'll write
you got to
some...
speak in tongues to understand this. I mean, look
that's
at
my notes, not your notes.
Oh my God!
Just thank you for showing that.
Hallelujah. We'll be
can
the same
I just
next
say
week.
One, we will be here next week because we never change.
Hallelujah.
Our spirits are stronger, but we grow every day.
So
but
say something could be going.
Well, I want to read a verse of scripture before we head out because this is the verse of scripture right before the one you wrote. That you read originally.
I wish I would have wrote that.
That you read originally, Hebrews 11.
Okay.
You read Hebrews 11, verse 8. I want to read verse 7 and 8 together because it's so important.
Read
to
it.
Me, it really connects. It talks about what you've been talking about, actually.
Okay. Read
remember
it.
Your leaders. I'm trying to.
I'm trying to get to the word.
Go ahead. Can you just close your mouth for like 2 seconds?
I got it.
Anybody have duct tape in the house?
Okay. Read
anyway,
the scripture.
Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith.
Mwah.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
So we're committed to keeping with the same good, wonderful, glorious gospel that so transformed our lives. And so this is what we come every week on the chat to bring to you, the
Amen.
Word of God, so that you'll
Amen.
Be inspired to stay consistent,
Amen.
To live a holy life before God, to never give up on your promises, no matter how you feel,
Amen.
Whether you do it all the time, you follow God, whether you in season and out of season. We're always
Amen.
Proclaiming the word of God. This is why we came here today, to bless
well,
you.
Before we go, we want to pray for you. Can we do that? Father, in Jesus' name,
thank you,
we
Jesus.
Come boldly to the throne of grace with these petitions and supplications with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Father, whoever's watching today, if they're physically sick,
yes.
Well, me and Kathy are not sick, I ask you to heal them.
Thank you, Lord.
From the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Lord, there are people having financial trouble. Their wallet's sick, mm-hmm. nothing in there. Lord, I ask you to fill it up so that when they open it up, there will be an abundance instead of a lack. Mm. Lord, if someone that doesn't know who you are, I ask you to save them. All they have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent. I believe you rose from the dead. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Mm. Lord, I ask you to meet every need according to your riches and glory. And Lord, you are doing very well. I thank you for each and every partner. Lord, I ask you to increase our partner base so we can do more for your work. And Lord, I just thank you in advance and call those things that be not as though they were because they will be. Thank you, Father, all these wonderful people taking time out of their schedule to see this boardroom chat. In Jesus' name we pray. So until next week, Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. Stay the same, okay? Bye-bye.